How are you guys doing? Doing all right? Sweet. Andy, you mind hitting the house lights for us so I can see a few faces out there? I'll step back so you guys can see my face a little bit. There's kind of this dark spot. Did you guys ever notice that? Chris stands up here and you can't see his face. There's, step back a little bit. Hey, I am glad you guys are here tonight. I am excited about this message, and it's something that, I'm just excited about it. So let's pray, and I'll explain why. Father God, we come before you right now. You are an awesome, mighty God. And Father, we just, we're here to worship you. We're here for you to change our lives. We're here to see our kids grow and understand you more. We're here to worship you in a way that, Father, that would bring you glory and change who we are. And so, Father, we just draw into your presence, ask that your spirit would speak, and we lay it all before you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're doing this transformed for a purpose, this going through Ephesians. And part of the reasons why we pick transformed in Ephesians is it's what's amazing is Ephesus. See, when Paul came to Ephesus and began to speak in Ephesus, and people began to hear the word of God and began to accept the testimony of what Paul was saying and began the church that was birthed there, it transformed that community. It literally turned it upside down. It was such a big deal that when Paul began to share and people began to accept Jesus as the Messiah, and not only the Jews but the Gentiles, as they began to connect together and truly believe and worship the Lord, literally things began to happen on an economical level, as Chris talked about last week, where all of a sudden many of the people that were building idols and all these different things to different gods were literally, their businesses were in trouble. And so they start this huge riot against Paul. But also you find out in the midst of this, as things were happening, there's even a point in Ephesus where people begin to come together and they literally begin to confess their witchcraft and all the stuff that they've done that was wrong and evil in the past. And they burn all these books, these magic books that they get rid of, and they destroy them. And whenever we talk about burning books, everybody's like, ooh, that's kind of, you know, that's not good. But this was good because they were literally stepping away from darkness. They were stepping away from things that were evil. And they literally burnt thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of these books that these people just gave up. And it literally transformed their community. Which to me is really interesting, because if you guys remember our vision statement, I'll pop it up here on the screen for you guys. It's coming. There it is. At Explore Church, we long for personal life change that transforms our community as we journey together, loving and following Jesus. That's our vision statement. The reality that what we want to create is an atmosphere here that is a place where you as individuals begin to see God in a way that changes your life, that helps you to step into what it is that God wants for you, to step into a place of purpose and hope, a place where God has brought you into the sweetness of His will. And we truly believe that when that begins to happen in individuals, it begins to happen in a community. It's amazing, because a lot of times when we think about our world problems, when we think about the issues that are all around us, we go, how can we ever solve that? How can we ever make a dent in that? And yet the reality is when we begin to transform as individuals and we begin to step into what it is that God would have us do, our area of influence, not the area of concern, but our area of influence, things can begin to change in a huge way. So this mission statement that we throw out before you guys, this vision that we have to see happen with the church, the reality of it is it's already happened all over the place. Ephesus is one of those places that it's happened. And we read through it and we see it in Scripture. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So if He worked in the past in people's lives, to change them in such a way that they change their community, do you not think that he can do it now? I believe he can do it now. I don't believe that Ephesus was any more righteous than Missoula was. Matter of fact, in some ways, it might have even been more messed up. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a possibility. So the reality is Missoula, where he has placed us, and some of us here, Missoula is an interesting community because Missoula is one of those places where some people are like, oh, I have a hard time with Missoula, but yet at the same time, there's a place where it's like, but I love Missoula. And I love the people that are here. And God has placed us here for a purpose and for a reason. And I truly believe that when he begins to transform us, he'll transform our community. What we're going to step in tonight in Ephesians chapter 1 is really interesting. Because we're going to deal with two mysteries tonight. And they're pretty profound. And the two mysteries that we're going to deal with tonight, and this is why I'm excited about this message, I truly believe if you can grasp them, if you can get to a place where you not only just know it, but you begin to understand it and you begin to apply it in your life, these two principles will change your life. And what's crazy about it is these are not principles that you go, oh yeah, okay, I got that one. Check it off the list. These are literally principles that I believe as believers in Christ, you will continually wrestle with and continue to reapply, continue to sit and go, okay, how does this work out now throughout your Christian journey? So these are big issues. They're big enough issues, to be honest, that sometimes there's a lot of debate between how it all works. And so hopefully tonight I won't confuse you. Hopefully we'll dig in and we'll be able to bring some clarity. Hopefully we can get to a place where we can look at some of these things and grasp them in a way that we can truly let the Holy Spirit begin to work in our lives, that it would literally transform us. So here it is. We're going to look over here at these mysteries. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 11, and we're going to hit the first mystery to begin off. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Chosen and predestined. Anybody nervous yet? Chosen and predestined. The opposite of that is my free will and my choice. This is an issue that has been going on in the church for a long time. The reality of looking at what does it mean for God to be sovereign and the place of him and everything working according to how he determines and how he plans and what is the place where it is somewhat my responsibility and how things happen and the things that happen around me are somewhat in my control and not in my control and up to man's free will. And the reality is there's places where churches lean heavily on one side or heavily on the other side. The problem is when we grasp one view and go, well, this is what it's got to be. It's got to be sovereignty all the way. There is no such thing as free will or choice. We are God's puppets. There's no ins, ands, or buts about it. What's going to happen is going to happen. Or if we go to the other side and we go, no, that's not the case. It is clear that there is free will and we are held responsible for the decisions that we make. And it's obvious if you look at our life, the way things happen. And here it is. To be honest, if you go to either side, you get into struggles and difficulties and often walk into areas of sin. But yet, they seem like two opposites, two sides of a coin, but yet somehow not even jointed. Actually, I think Tozer said it really well. He talked about these two issues being like railroad tracks. where they're parallel to each other and they don't seem like they could ever meet, but somewhere down the line, somewhere in the future they do. I think he was right. Because you see, when you go over to the side here where it's like, all right, God is totally sovereign, then we begin to deal with questions like, then we're all puppets. So how can a just God hold me responsible for my actions if I never had a choice? And if God is totally sovereign, then the reality is there's no point in witnessing or telling anybody about him other than just trying to be obedient. But it doesn't matter because God has already chosen who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. So it really doesn't matter. And then you can get to this place over here where it's like, well, if everything's, you know, this is the way it is and God has chosen everything and put it together, then to be honest, I'm a little angry at God because he didn't choose my parents. And how could he be a righteous God if he would do that? And so there's this struggle that happens. Where it's like, I can't grasp this totally, completely, I have no choice, no will, that everything is under his control and we are just going through the routine. Why even bother? But then if you go to this other side and you go, well, it's about man's choice. God gave us free will because there needs to be free will in the sense that if I choose, then that's actually truly an act of love. And we are told to love him totally and completely with all our heart, mind, soul. And how can I truly love him if I haven't chosen him? If I haven't made that step? But at the same time, if I'm the one that's in control and I make the choices, then that means God's not in control. And that means there's chaos around me. And God could be changed or how things happen. And how do I know if his will is going to come about? Because if I don't act upon it, then I could mess up history or I could mess up everybody else. Or now I'm responsible for everybody around me. Because if I don't act and if I don't do, then we're in trouble. And when we step into the place where we think everything relies on us to act and do, then we step into the place of being God. I'm in control. So there's this struggle that's happening on both sides of this issue. And people want to line themselves one way or the other depending on their surroundings. It's really easy to go over here and go, man, my life is good. Everything's flowing. You know, my friends are believers. And yeah, I believe in God's sovereignty. And then there's others that go over on this side and are actually more attuned to this side because they look at it and go, ooh, that's not good when I leave my own phone on. Especially when it says potential spam. So we get over to this other side and it's like, you know, if it's all up to me and my choices and these things, then the reality of all this stuff is I begin to live in fear. Because, you know, all the stuff that happens around us and I have choices and I can't quite match up because we have the same struggle that's going inside of us, realizing I still deal with a sin nature and I don't always make the cut. And so this side has this tendency to wonder whether they lose their salvation, and this side over here has this tendency to go, well, I can't lose my salvation, so it doesn't matter how I live. And so there's this battle that goes on, and it really does affect us. It affects the way that we process, affects the way that we look at God, affects how we look at ourselves and our own responsibilities. It affects the way that we evangelize and tell people about who he is. This is a big issue. Crazy part about it is when you begin looking through Scripture, it's not just these verses alone, but let's look at some different ones that pop up here. Let's turn over to John chapter 6. Starting here in verse 35. This is Jesus in his words. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me, there's that predestined, all those that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from the heavens not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those, of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up on the last day. Isn't it interesting? Even in Jesus' words, he talks about, basically, it's impossible to come to him unless the Father draws them. But at the same time, they have to come to him. That he draws them and to him, and so that he's got to open up their eyes. But yet, at the same time, there's a decision that man has to make to be able to do that. Let's look at some other scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all goodness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. It's God's desire that all people would come to a knowledge of the truth, that all would be saved. Scripture is really clear, not all are saved. Scripture is very clear about that. 2 Thessalonians goes through a huge chunk right there in chapter 1. We covered it in a small group Bible study this week where the wrath of God will be revealed and will be poured out on those who have rejected God and Christ and walked away in their own desire. But that's not what God wants. So if we're all puppets, then how is it that God desires something, but yet it doesn't happen? But yet Jesus talks about how he's the one who draws us. What happens when we turn over to Romans? Romans chapter 8, go down here to verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. That is a sovereignty scripture. Who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the first, or that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also will glorify. That's God's sovereignty. I love the verse. Oh, I love the verse that I have a destiny. I will become like Christ. God has said it. God has promised it. And I tell you guys, I hang on that verse because I'm not like Christ. But my heart longs for it so desperately. To be able to walk in a place of righteousness and holiness and love and peace. To be able to know my Father's will and to live in the midst of that. I long for that. And it brings me such joy and peace to know that God has said, you are predestined for it. That is my destiny. And if God has promised it, nobody can take that away from me. Amen. That is huge. But at the same time, we wrestle with this whole thing here because it talks about God calling individuals, God's sanctifying individuals, his predestination. So there's this whole struggle here of what is going on. Here's the reality of it. The reality is this. The scripture teaches both. That kind of stinks. It doesn't teach that it's only our choice, and that's all it is, but it does very strongly say we are held responsible for what we choose. That we have some kind of freedom. That there is some type of free will that works inside of us that we can actually choose to follow Christ or not. To surrender our will to Him and to His desire. Or to live for ourselves. We are held responsible for that. The scripture is clear all the way that we are held responsible for that choice of either accepting and following God or not. But yet at the same time, the scripture is very, very clear that God is sovereign. That God is in control. That nothing surprises Him. That He's got it and it's okay. See, if we wrestle with one and say, here it is, this is the way it's got to be, then we have these doubts and these struggles that it's like, well, okay, how does this work? You know, if it's this way over here, then it feels like chaos, but if it's this way over here, I feel like a puppet. But yet the scripture teaches both. And that's a mystery. I told you I was going to present two mysteries to you. This is one of them. This is a profound mystery that I believe if you begin to try to wrestle with it and try to work through it, God can do incredible things in your heart. Because if we can rest in what the scripture says and go, I don't have to grasp this whole thing. Here, let me put it this way. How many of you this week have sat down and watched Netflix or Hulu or whatever, and sat there and streamed it onto your computer or onto your TV this week? All right, quite a few of you. Our system is literally, I am out in the woods. I have this satellite hooked up that goes way out into space somewhere, pulls whatever show I'm streaming down from wherever it got it, down to my computer or my TV, and it plays it there with sound, and not only sound, but sound quality, and with this high definition picture and all this stuff, and it just flows. I don't get it. They tell me it's these waves, sound waves and radio waves, and you know, that you know, and they explain it like looking at the waves on the water. You know, you make a splash and you see these ripples, and all those ripples go out in a certain way that we have, you know, these computers that pick it up and translate it. And yet I'm going, yeah, that's great. And maybe I can kind of grasp that for a radio, but for high definition TV and picture that's happening like that constantly. Oh my gosh. I can't even wrap my mind around how much information right now is floating all around us. I mean, all around us. I mean, there's so many different channels and so many different radio stations and so many different, you know, phone calls and all this stuff that is happening all around us right now. I don't get it. If you get it, you're too smart for me. I mean, it's mind-blowing, right? Have you ever looked at your TV and go, I don't get you, so I ain't going to believe it, and I'm not going to turn you on. So there. We don't do that, do we? We go, I don't understand it, but man, this show is awesome. You know what I mean? We sit down and we enjoy it. Here's what I'm getting at. God is so much bigger than us. Amen? If I could figure Him out in my tiny little head, He's not a very big God. If I can grasp all the ways He works and all His plans, He's not a very big God. If there's something that comes in contrast where I go, ooh, that's not right. You know what I mean? There's two extremes, and it's like there's a lie in the mix of it. Well, He's given me enough brain to be able to go, that's a lie. But when I look at this thing here, and I go, wait a minute, God's totally sovereign, but at the same time, He's given me free will. I don't see how they come together in my mind. But I do see them happening all the time. I see the evidence all around me. It's constantly going on. So many times things happen, and I go, holy smokes, isn't that wild? Because there's no way that was coincidence. God's at work. God took care of me. God answered my prayer even before I prayed it. God's sovereign. And yet at the same time, I know that I have this ability to process and think and judge and be able to go, is this right? I have this temptation before me. Do I fall into that or do I live for the glory of God? And so I see these two principles at work in my life constantly. And what's wild about it is the scripture teaches these two principles constantly. So here's the challenge. Not to be able to go, well, I don't understand it, so I'm not going to believe it and I'm going to walk away from it. The challenge is to be able to go, I may not understand it because my God is outside of time. And all the predestination stuff, all that stuff, it's kind of a linear thing, and maybe that's part of it. I don't know. I may not understand it all. It's okay, but what's the benefit of it? Man, here's the benefit. Here's the total benefit. God's sovereignty? Yes, please. The reality that I can have peace in my trials. The reality is that it is not out of control. And he's got it. The reality that when I look around and all my circumstances seem to be falling apart, that I know that he works all things out for good. The fact that I know that he is a good, loving, gracious God. To be able to go in the midst of the chaos and the pain and the struggle, he's still loving me through it. And yet there's a side where I realize I have a choice. I'm no longer a slave. I'm not a slave to sin. I don't have to bow to its knees. I can rise up above it. I have a choice. And what I do and how I choose to live my life, it is an act of worship before the Lord, and it is an act of glorifying my Lord, and how I choose to live my life matters. It matters to God, it matters to others, it matters to myself. And he has given me that power to walk in those things. This is what's wild about this is those are the benefits. Those are the things of being able to realize these two things. I may not be able to explain them. I may not, like two opposite sides of a magnet, I may not be able to put them together in my mind. But they are there. And if I walk in the blessings of what God has and begin to realize, man, to be able to walk a life where I'm no longer terrified and no longer in fear, where I can truly give up my anxiety because God is in control, to realize that I'm totally loved and accepted and I don't have to earn my way into heaven, but at the same time, he gives me the blessing of being able to walk in his will, to be able to walk where he's at work, to be able to see the things that he's doing, that he invites me in to be a part of the incredible things, to see lives changed and people be able to have victory, and how sweet it is that I'm not a puppet, that he allows me to do that. The fact that when I'm willing to step in, my faith grows all the more because I look around and go, man, God is so real and so obvious compared to going, well, I'm just going through life. Like I say, if you can begin to grasp these things, I truly believe if you continue to work on these subjects in your life, it will transform you. get rid of anxiety and struggles, to being able to go, how do I step into what God has me, and to be able to realize that life is more than just waking up and doing the day, that there's a purpose. He's got something for me. He wants to show himself. He wants me to glorify him. If you can begin to meld these things together, there's things and there's issues in your life. I get it. I don't want to make it where you can go, well, I can't accept that mark because of this. What I'm getting at is this. There's a missionary that I knew that one of the most loving, gracious guys I've ever known in my life. A card, too. He's hysterical. And he's a missionary, and he has poured out his life for orphans in Thailand. And he just, talk about just one of the sweetest guys, gracious guys, loving guys, and just living a life of faith and taking care of all these kids, and actually bringing in kids that were born in AIDS situations, and taking care of these kids that the government, nobody else would even touch. And one day, when he came over to visit, we were sitting in the car, and he told me a story about when he was a kid and how he was molested as a child and the pain and the struggle that caused him all through his life and the struggles and all the things that he had to deal with as he began to work through that. And he told me, Mark, the hardest thing in my Christian walk that I've ever had to struggle with is to finally get to a point where I realize everything comes through God's hands and everything works out for the good, and that he is a loving, gracious God, even though I was molested. You may not be at a place where you can process that right now. I get that. That's why I tell you, if you can grasp these principles and grasp the scriptures and continue to work on them, continue to bring them before God and go, I'm trying to grasp this and I'm trying to understand you. I want to do what's right, and I want to also have this peace and understanding that you are in control. And if you are able to begin to work on these things, it will transform you. He was able to get there. And I tell you what, out of all the men that I've ever met in my life, he is probably in the top two or three of being a godly man just like Christ, where his love and his peace and his patience and who he is and how he lives his life and the way he does things, to be honest, I look at it and go, I want to be like him. Because he worked through some of this stuff. So, I told you two mysteries, and that wasn't this. The conflict is the one mystery, and I have another mystery for you. So, let's go back to Ephesians. I'm running really short on time, just like Chris last week, so we'll see what we can get out of this one. Because this one is profound, too, and to be honest, it takes a lifetime to grasp. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's start back up here. We'll recap this section. According to the plan of him who works out everything in accordance with the will, or I'm sorry, I skipped a little bit. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformance with the purpose of his will. In order that we, who are the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. Notice that. He talks about them being predestined and chosen all that bit, but then he comes right back in, just like Jesus does, when you believed. Your responsibility, an action, but yet, yeah. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That is the second mystery. You are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Like I say, there is not enough time to cover this one. This being marked, being able to have the seal, being able to realize that I have the Holy Spirit in me, holy smokes. That is huge. You know, when we accept Jesus Christ, we say, you know, we tell kids, accept Jesus into your heart. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about surrendering to God and saying, I believe in what you've done for me and that I receive you as my Lord and Savior. The reality is the Holy Spirit comes inside of us. The Spirit of God. And this is what's so awesome about it. God is sovereign, and yet I am responsible for my choice. In the past, I was a slave to sin, and I could not overcome my sin. But now that I am born again, because I've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, now that I stand in this new place, God has given me His Spirit. So that I no longer have to live in sin, that I no longer have to be a slave, that now I have been empowered. Isn't that incredible? This is what I said. This is that second mystery. If you can grasp this and wrestle with this throughout your life, that I am empowered by the Holy Spirit. When we first accept Christ, to be honest, we go, man, this is really cool, and God's got me, and we're rejoicing over that simple fact of salvation. But as you grow in your salvation, the more and more you begin to wrestle with, wait a minute. God lives inside me? The Creator of the universe, His Spirit, as part of who I am? So much so that I am His. I am His possession. Isn't that crazy? That I've been empowered by God. Be able to live the life that He calls me to. I want to give you... Ooh, I am over time. I'm going to give you two closing verses, and then we'll close it here. If worship team, you guys want to come up, I'm going to give you these two last chunks of verses. Okay, here it is. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to or in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Anybody want more life and peace? Amen. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. It's a slave. It can't do it. It's impossible. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Let's go down here to verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you a slave so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. You're loved. You're cherished. You're part of the family. You're a son. You're a daughter. And by Him, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His suffering, in order that we may also share in His glory. There is so much. We could literally go on and on about how the Spirit changes us, fills us, it regenerates us, it glorifies us, it sanctifies us. I mean, how many other us's can I throw out there? I mean, the reality is the Spirit is just, it's crazy. It is a life changer, literally a life changer. These two principles, guys. These two principles, the more you wrestle with them, the more you dig into them, the more you go, God, I want to walk in the midst of what you have. The more you begin to live them out and think about them and process them, it will transform your life. When you begin to realize that He has set you free and has given you the power to live a different life, that brings Him glory. and yet has given you free will to be able to choose to do that. And yet at the same time, we can rest in His sovereignty and have peace and all the things that go on around us. That, Father, we can look towards Him and realize that He is loving God and He cares about us and He's my Father. And all things that come to my way, even though they're evil and bad and all those things, they go through His hand because He knows that the pain that I go through molds and shapes my character and brings me closer to that final destiny of being like His Son, Jesus Christ. I am destined, and I freely give up my will for Him to change me and move me in whatever way He is, but at the same time, He empowers me and says, I have given Your will, my will, and Your will to You so that You can live and love and glorify me as You choose. What crazy concepts. But this is what God does for us. What a blessed place to be. To know the peace of God and His sovereignty, and at the same time to realize that He has empowered me to live a life so totally different than anything else. If you haven't experienced that, if you haven't wrestled with these concepts before, I ask you to reflect on it, to take a moment, to test yourself. Have I truly surrendered to Christ? Do I truly believe that He has something more for me? Am I willing to stop being the Lord of my own and let God be sovereign in my life? Father God, as we come before You right now, Lord, I thank You for these principles. I thank You, Father, that I have the privilege of being able to preach on these verses. Because, Lord, they mean so much. And, Father, we long to see life change happen, that our community would be transformed. Lord, I look around this community and I see so many people that are wandering without purpose, without joy, without hope. That, Father, there's so much pain and struggle and there's so much different things that are happening and people are at odds at each other just because of our stupid government that's not going to last. And yet we think it's so important. Father, forgive us. Help us to recognize what's truly important. Help us to love those that need to be loved. Help us to show Your grace. Help us to walk in the midst of what You've called us to be. Father, You have empowered us. Help us to rely upon that power that You've given us to set free other captives. Father God, may Your will happen. We praise You that You are sovereign. And Lord, even though I don't grasp it all in my mind, I praise You that You are so much bigger than what I can really grasp at all. I give it all to You in Jesus' name. Amen.